Hi Larry, Colin, Spike Pit here. Enjoyed your episode on encumbrance. Really good stuff. I think your Wednesday night GM has got the right idea. Regarding the black hack, as written, encumbrance. A character can carry a number of items equal to his strength with no issues. Carrying over this amount means they are encumbered and all attribute tests are taken with disadvantage. You can also only ever move to somewhere nearby, and they simply cannot carry more than double their strength. There you go. That's the black hack, mate. Keep up the good work, and catch you later.
Hello, and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. And today is Tuesday Tales number 3, Powerful Magic Items. But first, a veritable slew of calls about my Saturday Sprawl number 2 on encumbrance. We have calls from Arfed, a.k.a. Darren Green, Spike Pitt, a.k.a. Arfed's brother Colin Green, Cody M., Dr. Robert Groves, a.k.a. DM Dad, and Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor.
Hi Larry, Arfed here, just calling in about the encumbrance. I think it's something in the old days, in the old D&D, that used to really get in the way and slow the game down and cause all sorts of issues. So over the years, I think we've sort of put it to a back seat and not really used encumbrance much, and just sort of had a quick look when people seem to be getting out of hand with all sorts of ridiculous numbers of armour and weapons and things that they're carrying. But I think a lot of the lighter systems do quite a good job with the slots, like you were saying. I like the slot system, simple. You can carry 10 items, you can carry 12, whatever it is. I'm not sure about stronger people necessarily would be able to carry more equipment. Obviously they'd be able to carry heavier equipment, but I'm not sure that means that you've got the bulk and the space to carry more necessarily. But yeah, we keep it simple with slots in my game. Thanks.
Hey Larry, Cody M here. I was just calling in on your 2 Saturday sprawls. The first one about level advancement, the way I do it is I only allow characters to level up when they reach the safety of town or like a safe space. As long as they're not out in the wilderness somewhere where something can come get them, then they can level up. Otherwise, they got to make it back to town with all that XP they got. So that's how I do that. And for encumbrance, I'm actually looking into a few different house rules right now. I'll probably have something up on the Discord about it later. But there's got to be a super easy way to go about it, because tracking weight and all that, it can get tedious quick. Anyway, bud, I'm really enjoying the show. Keep it up, and I will catch you later.
Hi, Larry. It's Robert from DM Dad. Great episode on encumbrance. In my game, I use the slots pretty much just like you describe. It's basically your strength score. You can carry that many items. And I also use usage die, so I use both of those together. Because basically, I think the resource management aspect of the game is important. But I also think It's not fun to reduce a game session to a bunch of calculations and math and box ticking and things like that. So to avoid dealing with minutia, to find a quick and usable way to deal with encumbrance and things is kind of, that's what I like about slots and usage dice.
Hey Larry, it's Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor. This current campaign I'm running, I was originally going to run it. It's the BX Essentials. So I was going to run it as like the coins, based off of coins, but I ended up hand waving it. But what we kind of do is do the reasonable thing. Like, isn't it reasonable to the characters to carry this much? And if there's some sort of debate, we debate and see where it goes. But what I kind of put into play is every time they go out adventuring, they have to pay like a 10% maintenance cost from all the battering and bashing and hacking and slashing that they do. And if they don't do it, then their weapons start deteriorating, and so does their armor and their equipment. So it's mishaps can happen. Armor class goes down, damage goes down. So I kind of roll it around a 10% thing. So that's, I guess, my, I don't know if it's a if I'm talking about the same thing, but I don't know. It's just something I use. So thanks, Larry.
Thanks for all the call-ins and comments about encumbrance, fellas. I also want to give a shout-out to Randy and Mike of the Dicer Screaming, since they always seem to mention my podcast. I just made a call just in time today to be included in their Tuesday episode. Be sure and give that a listen. And now on Tuesday Tales, powerful magic items. I've got several different items. I'm just going to give the quick and brief, as I don't know all the details, because they're not all my story. But stories my brother Robert, who I interviewed a few episodes back, told me about his campaign. One time, another group of players found a deck of many things. James Forrester, the by then high-level wizard, eyeing archmage levels, when he saw that thing, he said, "Get that thing away from me!" Because he obviously didn't want to risk his hard-earned power for a chance at even more power, with a practically even chance of losing it all. It was in that same encounter with the deck of many things that another player drew Void, and we had to go rescue him. I talked about that on another episode. And somebody managed to get a wish. And they wished for all kinds of things, but the thing I thought that was the most hilarious in the way my brother adjudicated it was a wish for the best inn ever. It would be an inn with the best of whatever it was from all over the world. Well, rather than bringing into being brand new items that were better than everything else, it was taking the best from other inns from around the world. And the nature of this wish was such that the inn kept getting better because no place could have something better than this inn. It never got to the point where the owner of that inn had his comeuppance by the owners of the stuff that is now in his place, probably because they're too far away to easily get there and maybe they can't track him. But that is an interesting little plot hook there you might think about. There's also in my brother's campaign a luck blade, and my goodness, it was a long time ago he told me that there was this plus one luck blade floating around in the game that players actually found, and as they got better items, because it was only plus one, they would hand it off to henchmen, and it got passed on. It was now in the hands of other characters, and I think it only had the one wish, and I kept my mouth shut and never mentioned it to anybody because I thought it was hilarious. Finally, I don't know, maybe as much as 10 years after he told me about it, he was playing in an adventure with his wife and daughters and his son and some friends, and they were up against the demon, and the plus one wasn't enough to hit it, so he carelessly said, "I wish I could hit this thing." Well, he suddenly had how many ever more pluses added to his magic blade so that he could actually hit the thing they were fighting. I guess that was a practical use of a wish, but nobody knew it was there, and so it was funny that the plus one weapon everybody passed around is now a plus two or plus three weapon, depending on whatever the power level of that particular demon was. And I would be remiss if I left out a powerful magic item from Griswold. After the Stuarts kicked out the Buchanans and moved into the castle of the Buchanan's capital, Griswold went down into the catacombs and cast Detect Magic, and he found an intelligent sword. It was actually a plus four versus lizards or something, and it was always seeking the greatest. And my brother made the mistake of telling me what its ego was. And in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, the ego is a combination of levels and intelligence and wisdom and maybe something else. And because of all my classes and so forth, I was just barely had enough levels to beat out the ego of this thing. And if you lose enough hit points, that affects your ego as well. So I was afraid of this thing and didn't use it to its effectiveness. And when we did run into a dragon, it didn't really do much. So I don't know if it's after the greatest dragon or the greatest lizard. It did tell Griswold that the greatest was somewhere to the south. Never found out where that was. So he's got a magic sword that he doesn't do a whole lot with because he's afraid of it. That's another thing about intelligent swords. If something happens to your player, they might get possessed by the sword to go after whatever it is that sword most wants to do in life. Those are some experiences in play with some powerful magic items. There are some powerful magic items in my campaign, but none of them have really come into play yet, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise for any of my players that might happen to listen to my podcast here. So, what kind of powerful magic items have you had experience with, and what was a fun little twist that was placed on them by the Dungeon Master? Thanks for listening, and game on.
And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on.